The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, good to have you with us here ahead of Thursday's racing action. You're listening to Thursday's Racing Podcast. It's Dave Kellner in the studio with Alex Dunn to take you through the action from Yarmouth, Nottingham and Uttoxeter. We've also got meetings at Haydock and Newbury and Leopardstown on Thursday afternoon. Good team in the studio as well with Sean Quinn, Andy Holding and Stephen Powell taking you through the racing action from 1:40 p.m. on Thursday. As ever, we'll talk about the some of the major racing topics ahead of Thursday's action. And Weatherby, if you're looking at the front of the Racing Post on Wednesday, Weatherby have trialled the flat and it's been hailed as a great success, Alex.
Yeah, it's something that has been talked about for a while. It's certainly something that I would encourage as someone who goes to Weatherby reasonably often. It's the sort of track, because it is so flat, you wouldn't have a problem with having flat racing there. I think it looks a little like Fos Las, if you like to look at, or Nottingham maybe. And I mean, the feedback that it's got is absolutely fantastic. If John Joe Sanderson, clerk of the course at Weatherby, was concerned about the feedback it would get from the jockeys, I mean, I'll read you some of the quotes here. We've got Tony Hamilton: it's spot on, no problems at all, it rode brilliantly. Jockey PJ McDonald said you could race around here tomorrow, the bends are that well graded. Tom Eaves: you'd have no worries about running a good horse here. And Dale Swift: you know, it rides that well that you wonder why they didn't think of having flat racing there sooner. It's the kind of thing that hinges on jockeys and trainers wanting to go there.
Yeah, it's funny when you're reading those quotes and you look at the trainers that have sent their horses there for work. 28 horses provided by Richard Fahey, Brian Ellison, and Mark Johnston. All Northern trainers.
Well,
all Northern jockeys. They're going to say this, aren't they? I'm not for 1 second questioning the. Questioning whether Weatherby can stage flat racing. If they wouldn't make quotes like that if it was a difficult course to ride on. But all Northern trainers, Northern jockeys.
Yeah, but who's going to be sending the horses there?
Yeah, Northern trainers and Northern jockeys.
Exactly. But it would be pointless getting anybody else in to look at that. I know that that's what they'll want to do. And it provides extra opportunities for the jockeys to ride winners and, you know, extra prize money, etc., etc. Yes, that's true. But if Weatherby received a bit of criticism a few years ago on the jumps course, and there were a few fatalities there, and it'd be very, very easy for the flat trainers and jockeys to go, no, thank you. You know, we're not particularly bothered. There's a lot going on at the minute. Obviously, Newcastle's going to be turned into an all-weather track. Or, you know, that's in the offing. There's plenty of new opportunities that didn't look likely a couple of years ago. If Weatherby does stage flat racing, I think the majority of the Northern racing sort of team would be behind it. That's reflected in what the jockeys have said. I think it'd be a welcome addition to the fixtures calendar.
From a racing perspective, there has been a lot of reflection on Australia's Derby victory at the weekend as well. Tegruda, equally impressive in the Oaks. Australia and Kingston Hill pulling quite a way clear of the third in the Derby, and Australia an above average Derby winner.
Yeah, still not convinced a mile and a half is the best trip for the horse. I think he won because he's by far superior to the others, rather than he's a mile and two horse at best. He didn't pull away at the end. That's what's lending me to think that. But the way that he travelled was just fantastic.
He had a hard race though, didn't he? Afterwards, he looked to be really suffering. I know it was a hot day as well.
Yeah, I think you've just got to be wary with horses now. what you do with them next. I think Australia could be an absolute superstar if he's campaigned right. Aidan O'Brien often campaigns his runners pretty well. He's not one to throw them in a race if it's too soon. You know, he's sort of honest, if you like, in that sense. I hope that Australia has campaigned well. I hope that it's almost better if you don't see them that often. Frankel, we didn't see on a race course maybe as often as some people would have liked. But that made it all the more special when we did see them. Now, I'm not saying Australia can be as good as Frankel, because Frankel is a phenomenon. But I think Australia could be, of his generation, far, far superior to the rest. I think that was shown in the derby over a trip that did stretch him.
And quick word on Cyrus de Zegler as well, winner of the Coronation Cup. What a stalwart he's been.
Absolutely. Game in victory. He went lame 2 furlongs out and still won. How can you do that? It beggars belief, the toughness of that horse. Because when he finished, I was watching the coverage on the telly, and walking around afterwards, he was limping. And you just think, if that was a human in a 100-metre race, if Usain Bolt sort of twisted his ankle, he wouldn't have carried on. You know, he'd have thrown the towel in. It really is commendable. He's a fantastically tough horse. He's one of the horses that you just love to own, because he doesn't run a bad race.
And he's made a heck of a lot of prize money.
Well, that's the other reason. That's the other reason why you wouldn't mind owning him. But,
my accountant's hat on there.
I know. All about the money with you, Dave. But no, I think admirable horse. And the good news is that the injury isn't severe. He's going to be given a few weeks box rest. And then hopefully we'll be back as good as new.
And looking forward to the Royal Ascot meeting, which is next week. I can't wait to see the clash between Kingman and Knight of Thunder in the St James's Palace Stakes. If it's good ground, that will be a spectacle, because people still underrating Knight of Thunder.
They are. I think there's so many good races to look forward to. On yesterday's racing podcast, me and Lord Budden had a look at the Prince of Wales' stakes. Fantastic race. Trev's the 4-5 market leader. But then you look at the rest of the field and you just go, this is just high quality. It's what people have been waiting for. And it's just around the corner now, Royal Ascot. It's almost sneaked up on me.
It has. The World Cup is overshadowing everything else at the moment. I won't let it overshadow the US Open golf, for instance. True. And I'm sure next week racing people won't let it overshadow Royal Ascot, which should be a
Wimbledon
fantastic,
as
it always is, fantastic spectacle, and Wimbledon coming up. So really busy sports betting period here with William Hill over the next month. Let's have a look at a few races for Thursday then. Alex, you've made 3 selections. We won't keep you too long, listeners. The classified stakes at 3:15 at Yarmouth, your first pick in this race. This is a 3-year-old 0-65 classics contest. It's not high quality action.
It isn't, but I think there's a more than above average horse in here in the form of Kevin Ryan's Derbyshire. A horse that I followed very, very keenly last year, was at York when he made his debut and was incredibly well backed for a very, very strong maiden. That went to a Godolphin horse, and Derbyshire ran okay, nothing more. Then in another maiden, showed a little bit, and again in the final run of last year. So form figures of 7.76 are hardly inspiring, but he's got a mark of 64, and he's coming up against some very average performers here. Handwoven probably sets the benchmark with a rating of 65, but just doesn't win very often. You've got Plucky Dip, who, you know, is very, very consistent again, and, you know, has won a race, but again, is not of sufficient quality, I don't think, to land this. The only query with Derbyshire is he's been in twice in the last 3 weeks and he's been pulled out because of soft ground. Now, to my knowledge, the going is good to Firb at Yarmouth and there will no further rain expected. I think Derbyshire's going to win this head in chest. I think that this horse will be going on to better things this season. Shane Gray takes the ride. That's not a negative. Takes 5 off. But Paul Mulrennan was booked for one of the runs where he's pulled out, and Jamie Spencer the other one. So I'd rather one of those was on, if you like. But I think the horse's quality is far superior to the rest of these. And hopefully you'll be able to get a price around the 2-1 mark early in the morning. I think he'll go off shorter than that. I think Derbyshire's a good thing in the opener.
And Woven's never won. Not from 17.
And the thing is, runs well.
Yes.
Does run well. It would reward each way backers most times, but doesn't seem to want to win. Blinkered first time today. That could... not today, sorry, tomorrow. Could be interesting if that sharpens him up, but I think backing 17 race maidens to win is the fastest way to the poorhouse, isn't it?
Next up, the 4:45 at Nottingham, which is the first Security Solutions Limited Maiden Stakes over a trip of a mile, and Lacan will be expected to win here for Clive Cox and Luke Morris. This horse has had a couple of starts today. It finished second on debut at Nottingham in soft ground, and second short-headed by Wannabe Yours on fast ground at Nottingham as well. So coming to Nottingham again for race number three in this horse's burgeoning career.
Yeah, and I think we'll take the beating, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think he's... I think it's an okay race. You've got Dunnington up at the top, beautifully named, I must say. no, that one doesn't have a chance. We've got... It's interesting because you'd imagine a maiden... Oh, level weights. Not the case. Because at this time of year, the three-year-olds get a huge weight allowance from the four- and five-year-olds. The only one... There's four or five-year-olds in this race. The only one of interest is Godolphin's Musadas, who is thoroughly exposed. Was turned over at Wolverhampton when hugely odds on. Has gone to Maidan and run okay in some decent races. So on the pick of his form, you'd have to give Musadas a chance. But again, do you want to be backing a horse that consistently fails to put in the effort, if you like? Not for me. If we look down, we've got Express Himself, who I actually quite fancied when she made her reappearance at Pontefract, but was behind Rose Hill that day, Luca Kamani's horse, and would have to have improved quite a bit to win this, I think. Gang Warfare improved pretty rapidly from first to second run, and is entitled to do so again, and I think Gang Warfare is probably the danger to Lacan, who was behind Wannabe Yours last time out, as you mentioned, at Doncaster.
Nottingham.
At Nottingham. Wannabe Yours went on to win at Doncaster last week. So the form reads really, really, really well. Lacan versatile ground-wise goes in its two runs. One was on soft, one was on, I think, good to firm. Everything in place for Lacan to run a big race. And I think you'll get a fair price because I think a fair chunk of the market will be taken up by the Godolphin horse, who I don't think wants to win.
Okay, so Lacan, the selection to beat Gang Warfare in the 4:45 at Nottingham. Moving on to the evening action, the 7:30 at Uttoxeter is the Scottish Raspberry Alcoholic Ginger Beer Handicap Chase. I think there might be too much in that drink.
I don't think you can ever have too much in a drink, Dave.
Raspberry Alcoholic Ginger Beer.
Mm.
I'd have to sample some.
Okay.
Before...
If you're listening and you'd like to send us a crate... I'm sure we'd consume it.
More than welcome. More than welcome to. But before putting the stamp of approval on that, I'd need to sample some. It's a good race. Eight runners in this contest, and some real old-timers in here. The Panama Kid, My Flora, You Know Yourself, Alanard, and Mohi Rahair, all over 10 years old, those five horses. It's almost a veteran's chase, this one.
Well, yeah, and I think this will go to one of the younger brigade. We'll start with Dreams of Milan, carrying top weight for Donald McCain. Likes at Uttoxeter, made its debut here when was beaten by Squire Trelawney, but then followed up the next time in a bumper. They were both bumper efforts. And has turned into, I wouldn't say a frustrating horse, but I don't think he's quite fulfilled his potential yet. But he's still only six this time. A bit of a tame finish last time. Wayne Hutchinson was on board. And I just think that man McCoy, you cannot underestimate just how strong he is. I know we keep coming back to it. I don't need to tell you how good he is.
No.
I think he got his fastest 50 up yesterday.
He did. Yes. So
he's in as good a form as he's ever been. And I think he's going to have enough to boot Dreams of Milan home here. Not least because I don't think he's coming up against much. The Panama Kid is badly handicapped and does his winning elsewhere. Mandarin Sunset is an admirable performer for James Hewitt. But again, I think this is just a bridge too far for him. My Flora, I don't mind, but has a tendency to just throw in the odd absolute stinker. You Know Yourself, I don't think is good enough. The same applies to Fritzo. Allenard does most of his winning at Weatherby. Is in great form, but I don't know why they've sent him to Uttoxeter, to be honest. I'm a bit puzzled by that. And Mohi Rare would have to step up markedly on anything we've seen. And at the age of 11, you wouldn't expect that he could do that. I think Dreams of Milan is not the safest bet you could ever have, because he does have this tendency to finish weakly. But if he's going to win a race, it's going to be today. It's going to be with McCoy on board. And I think Dreams of Milan can get the job done in Uttoxeter 7:30.
That's the last pick then. So your three selections for Thursday's racing, going with Derbyshire in the 3:15 Yarmouth, in the 4:45 Nottingham Lacan to beat Gang Warfare, and 7:30 Uttoxeter, the top weight, Dreams of Milan. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
And make sure you're listening to Thursday's racing action. We're live on the air from 1:40 p.m. Top team in the studio as well, with Sean Quinn joined by Andy Holding and Stephen Powell. And we've got six race meetings for you to get stuck into from a betting perspective as well. In the afternoon, action coming up from Newbury, Nottingham and Yarmouth. And in the evening, Uttoxeter, Haydock and Leopardstown on the agenda. You can tweet us at Will Hill Racing is the Twitter handle. And you can email the studio as well. studio@williamhill.co.uk is the email address. Thank you to Alex, and thanks to you for listening to Thursday's Racing Podcast. We'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.